10 o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here today for our service. We celebrate today as a church Holy Trinity Sunday. This is the day that we recall that our God and Father, who is one, exists and reveals himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a great mystery that's above our pay grade as far as completely figuring out. But we believe the Lord as he's revealed himself, and we know he's above us. And that gives us hope and joy as we go through our lives, trusting in someone besides the person we see in the mirror. And in that, we find peace amongst our struggles and strength in our weakness. It's a great blessing. We welcome those that are tuned in on the radio this morning as well. Thanks for joining us for our service today on Holy Trinity Sunday. Wish you the Lord's blessings too. And our service begins this morning with our opening hymn, and that's hymn 801, How Great Thou Art. And we would invite the congregation, if they're able, to please stand for that hymn as we sing together, How Great Thou Art. Please stand. Amen. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue with our introit from Psalm 16. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him, because he has shown his mercy to us. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for this Holy Trinity Sunday comes from the book of Genesis in the first part of the second chapter. If you're not familiar with this or don't remember this, as we read verse 26, notice in that verse specifically the pronouns that are used, and notice that they're not in the singular, but they're in the plural. We begin with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruits in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the children up this morning for our children's sermon. Hello. How are you guys? Good, good. Thanks for coming up for our children's sermon today. I have a question to ask you guys, and I'm wondering if you can answer it. I bet you can pretty simply. It's not too complicated. What in the world is this goofy looking thing?
A mirror.
A mirror? And what in the world would anyone use this goofy looking thing for?
To see their faces.
To see their faces. Good answer. Yeah, did you notice that this mirror has this side that's not cracked? And then on this side, what happened?
It got cracked.
It fell. And it cracked it. Yeah, it's not broken on this side.
I think I know why it got cracked.
Why?
It fell on the cracking side.
That's correct. It fell on the cracking side, yes. It did. And when it did, it broke, huh? And this mirror, the glass didn't come out, right? That's good. It's kind of coming out, though. You have to be careful.
Our window was cracking.
Oh, a window was cracking?
Oh,
so you got a new one. Yeah. Yeah, this mirror needs replaced, too, probably. But one side of it's still good, huh?
Yeah.
But notice, let me show you something about this mirror. Even though it's cracked, what do you see when you look in it?
People,
yeah. Do you see yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah? No. Do you see Joey?
No.
No. Joey's there. Joey's there. He's a little cracked with the cracked glass. How about Gus?
Who is that?
Who is that? Okay, but watch this. If you turn it around, look, it zooms in on your face. It's a magnifying effect. Look at that. Isn't that weird? Look, it makes your face look big. Ooh, it's pretty crazy, huh? This mirror teaches us a really important lesson about the Bible. Did you know that? Do you know what the Bible is? I hope so. Yeah, but did you know it talks about God? But who else does it talk about, Joey?
Jesus.
Yeah, who else?
Adam and Eve.
Oh, it talks about Joseph. And it talks about who else? Charlotte. It talks about Charlotte. And who else?
Adam and Eve.
And one other person we need to mention.
Jesus.
We already mentioned him.
Yes.
Who else does the Bible talk about?
Gus.
Yes, it does. It talks about Pastor Jason, too. Yeah. And I want you to know, hold on, before you make your point, I want you to know that this Bible is actually a better mirror than this mirror. It'll give you a better picture of yourself than any mirror on earth will. And the Bible tells us what? It says that yes, we sometimes make mistakes and sin against God. But what else does it tell us? That God forgives all of our sins. And it tells us that we're God's children. This Bible tells us that. Does this mirror tell us that?
Yeah.
Not if we don't have this Bible. We wouldn't know just by looking in the mirror.
Yeah. We have a kind of Bible, right?
You do? Yes, you have one of those Bibles. Yeah, I know you do.
Everybody has one.
Everybody should have one. If they don't have one, they need to come tell us, right? So we could give them one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could give themselves one too. Okay, I want you guys to remember this, okay? This Bible is a better mirror about you, and it'll tell you more about yourself and tell me more about myself than any mirror ever could tell us, okay? Let's say a prayer together. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If I turn this mirror around and look at my face, it will make my face giant because, oh, you're right, because my face is already huge. You are not wrong. Fold your hands, bow your heads, close your eyes, let's say a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your word gives us the clearest picture of ourselves, and it shows us your love for us and your forgiveness. Protect us today and remind us that we're your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming up, guys. You can go back and sit down. Our second reading for today comes from Acts chapter 2, the remainder of the information we heard last week regarding the day of Pentecost. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to please stand for the reading of the gospel and the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. We invite you to join us in singing our hymn of the day for Holy Trinity Sunday. That's hymn 498, "Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed." Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, I wonder if you would indulge me a little bit to talk about something that I think is the horse and carrot of the entire human experience. That being this phrase, self-image. Self-image is the horse and carrot of the entire human experience. Everybody's chasing it. Everybody, at some level. Because it's not just that we want the perfect bod. This is not a demonstration. We want to be desired. That's what we want. And we don't just desire applause. We want someone to notice us. We're not afraid, really, of failure, but we are afraid of who failure might mean that we are. Self-image is a double-edged sword. It's got a high road and it's got a low road, so to speak. It can both motivate us to move forward in life and conquer things, as well as it can chain us to our own misery. The same inner dialogue that keeps us going can also quietly be deceiving us and saying all the time, you're just not good enough yet. And what happens when it all takes a turn for the worse in life, I mean, and we end up on the low road when it comes to self-image. When we get the diagnosis, when we lose the job we love, when we wake up one day and we realize, oh my gosh, I'm getting older, it's for real. Or we have to admit defeat in our business endeavor, file for bankruptcy. When someone has to sell away their life's work or watch their kids grow up and make awful choices and blame themselves for it, then our self-image chasing takes a nasty turn. And that quest that we've been on our whole life becomes pure poison that we begin to feed to ourselves every day. So stop and ask yourself this morning, where am I getting my self-image from? Like really, where are you drawing it out of? What's informing that image that you have of yourself? It's important to ponder that because it'll help us understand. I wonder, because for many, it comes from the mirror. They look in the mirror and they say, oh, this is my self-image. For many others, it's what people say about them, how they compare themselves to other people. And they listen to popular voices that say, like, your self-image or your self-worth is determined by who? You. For some, it's the stock ticker on their smartphone, their balance in their savings account, their marital status, their children's success. But the Bible has something so magnificent to help us today. Whether we're on the high road of self-image, still chasing the carrot and believing that we're going to get something in that endeavor, or whether we're on the low road of our self-image and we're feeding ourselves pure poison based on memories from the past. Good news. There's relief. Real relief from the Bible today. And the good news comes from Genesis chapter 1. And it's so simple. And we miss it when we read. But listen carefully, because the Bible in no uncertain terms. We weren't created with a self-image. We've been duped. Bible speaks nothing of a self-contrived, self-validated, or self-measured life. It does not. And why? Because we were created, get this, in the image of someone else. How did we miss that? Oh my gosh. We were created in the image of someone else, which means flush the self-image. Just flush it. Go ahead. Send it down. Send it away. It's doing you no good anyway. So, in that regard, if I've got this self-image that says, hold on, Pastor, it is doing me good, and I'll tell you why. Because, see, I'm a Christian. Well, did you make yourself one? No. Neither did I. Well, I'm a really good person. Are you sure? What if it really got examined? We're created in the image of somebody else, and we've just been about this game, this horse and carrot kind of reality. Whether we're on the high road of that or the low road, there's another road. And that's the one the Bible's going to tell us about. There's another way. Listen to this from Psalm 62, verse 9. The psalm's been on my heart all week this week. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are altogether lighter than a breath. Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 tells us that comparing ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing from that selfish ambition, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Look at the Old Testament reading with me for a moment. It's there in verse 26 and 27, as we pointed out during the lectionary reading, that we see the pronouns in the plural. Let us make man in our image, an obvious reference to the Trinity. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created them, male and female. The whole Trinity is present in the creation account. We were created by God in his image. Jesus was there. The Father was there. The Holy Spirit was there. And Jesus created us in his image. So it begs the question, if we're created in Jesus' image, what image are you chasing? Or me? Which one am I chasing? He created us back then in his image, and this beautiful thing called the gospel is recreating us into that image again. Because we lost it, friends, in the Garden of Eden. But he's bringing it back. He's literally recreating. And this is the part that really blew my mind, is that if we say, well, what does that mean? What is the image? What are we talking about exactly? Well, we have to start here. Who were we supposed to be that we lost in the Garden of Eden when we fell into sin? Well, look at this. Look at this. This is Colossians. This amazes me. You can't have Genesis 1 without John chapter 1. And you can't have John chapter 1 without Colossians chapter 1. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, that says exactly this. Jesus is the image of God. Jesus. So when Genesis tells us that we're created in God's image, it means that we're created not with a self-image or one that we have to try to create through our life experience, comparisons, successes, or failures. But now, He made us in Christ's image. He created us in Christ. And that's what He's doing, friends. He's taking this fallen creation and He's recreating it back into Christ. Romans 8, verse 29, it says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that Jesus might be firstborn of this new creation." See what's going on. He's creating again. And in that same verse in Colossians 1:15 says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. Not Adam, but Jesus. Amazing. But when we hear somebody say, "Well, what is the image?" Like, we often think, "Well, that's why I look like I do." Right? Like, I've got two legs and two feet and two arms and two hands and a head and a torso. And we think, well, that's the image of God, right? Like, that's why I look like that and I'm shaped like that, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's our physical stature. But likely to say, the reason that you look like you look and I look like I look is because Jesus looked like that. See, God is not bound to this concept of time that we're bound to. In fact, Revelation 3:18 will say, "The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world." You look like you look because Jesus looks like He looks. So the people that came before Jesus, they didn't inform Jesus' look or image. Actually, He informed theirs. He's the center of all time. Not me, not you. It's His image that matters, not ours. We've always been built like Jesus in our physical stature. We share in God's likeness, in His physical form, because that's who Jesus is. He's a human. And if you try to figure this out, this human thing, and you say, "Well, what is a human? What does it mean to be human anyway?" I encourage you to go looking in your spare time for what that means. Because you'll get a variety of answers. You'll get all kinds of answers. Some people will cop out and say, "Oh, well, a human is a Homo sapien." And then they just created that idea, right? Or they'll say, "It's complex. Emotions, feelings, decisions, actions," and then they give up there. And you can't really build like this good definition. You can't really find a good definition. Go digging. It's pretty sad what you find when you say, "What does it mean to be human?" Try to find the answer to that. And I think that shows us something. It's that, honestly, we don't know ourselves. We don't really have our heads around our own image. We've never had one of our own. Our image, I mean. So what does it mean to be human? Well, only a believer can answer that question correctly. Because the Bible defines humanity not by stature and not by ancestry and not by a complex set of scientific propositions. Rather, it defines a human being this way. A human being is someone who hears God's word and does it. That's who Adam and Eve were. They heard God's word and did it. Before the serpent entered in and tempted them. That's who, better yet, Jesus was. The firstborn of a new creation, right? He's the one who heard God's word and did it. The one who said, not my will be done, but your will be done. That's a human. It's hard to consider, but I challenge you this morning to truly try to understand yourself today. We're not made with our own autonomous self-images that we're supposed to go around and figure out and live to define. None of us. Not apart from Christ. Only in Christ do we have an image. And that image of you or me in Christ is a blessed gift. It's not something we put together. It's something we're delivered by grace and mercy through faith and the gifts of God. He gave you who you are as a gift so that you don't have to wonder about it or go seeking to try to build it. He's already told us who we are and given us our gifts. It's beautiful and amazing, but just in Colossians, Paul uses this phrase, in Christ or in Him, 16 times in 4 chapters. And in the book of Ephesians, there in 6 chapters, he uses the phrase in Christ 36 times in 6 chapters. I think he's trying to tell us something. That we were created in the image of someone else. That being our Lord Jesus. And that matters. Because it's key to understanding who we are. We'll never discover it. It has to be given. And me and you, we can only truly know who we are by looking at Jesus, the one whose image in which we were created. That's who God made us to be. One who loves God and neighbor. One who gives up and lays down our own lives for God and neighbor. One that picks up our cross, even though we don't like it, and follows Him. And Jesus gave Himself for us, and He came and died for us, and He forgives us all of our sins for chasing those ghosts of self-image, for believing the lies that failure defines us, for trying to discover a different us other than who He made us. And He comes this morning according to His mercy so that we can live free from all that garbage. He who the Son sets free is free indeed to know who they are and to live it. Live as those who we truly were meant to be, existing in Him. And now our self-image is His image. Our reputation is His reputation. Our family is His family. Our health is His health. Our joy and accomplishments are His accomplishments. As Scripture will tell us, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. That's why it's saying that. It's by His death and His resurrection and His ascensions, He made all things new so that we now in Christ, knowing who we are, in every vocation can serve Christ in every place that we go. We can hear God's word and do it joyfully. And live as truly human once again. Not in the bondage of chasing our own delusions, but in the freedom of knowing who we are now. In order to get that, we've got to look at Him. When He snubbed His nose at Satan's offering of those worldly things for the sake of the poor in spirit. And He always focused on God's work of bringing the Gospels to the corners, the dark corners of the globe. That's what we're about. Letting other people hear what He's done. We know that the devil and the world and our sinful flesh is going to constantly dangle that carrot of self-image in front of us and tempting us to go and define ourselves by our memories or our plans or our physical look or whatever the scale says or whatever we ate that day or whatever garbage it is. always tempting us to define ourselves by any other way than the one who loves us. But that's where it's at, friends. God, in His grace, reminds us today that we do not have a self-image. We were created in His. So, if we were on that low road, good news. We're not old. We're not sick. We're not bankrupt. We're not rich. We're not poor. We're not strong. We're not weak. We're not defined by any of these things. We're not failures. We're in Christ who won the victory. And by faith in His name, His perfect life counts for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we invite the congregation to stand if you're able. And on our Holy Trinity Sunday, we confess the Athanasian Creed together responsibly. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither in essence and persons nor in body and substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is the Father.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore,
but it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is by faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and He is man, born from the substance of His mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul,
equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week. KSPK.